This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we find that the bitter fruits of arrogance that we find, where it leads or begins to stem forward in carrying out various other actions or various other atrocities or other sins. And that's what we mentioned in general, that one sin leads on to another sin. So a person should be vigilant regarding their sins. The hadith inside Musnad Imam Ahmad, that a person travels on a journey, or group of individuals travel together. When it comes to cook their meal together, each individual brings a branch or a twig, and they ignite a fire and they begin to burn the pot or cook their meal. Every single twig plays a role in that fire. And that is the descriptive nature of ma'asi, of sins. That every single sin leads on to, may Allah forbid, to another sin or a collection of sins, till eventually the person, may Allah forbid, is destroyed via the carrying out of their own sins. And thus we find that amongst the repercussions of arrogance that we find is an element of a person thinking that they're rightly deserving, that the wealth and the property or the position that they have is something that belongs to them. They deserve to be given this, and they deserve to carry out whatever they want to do with that which, in essence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon that individual. Person begins to feel that they're self-sufficient. They have no need of people around them, or they've achieved whatever they achieved via their own selves. That is a common sickness inside this society that we find. When people begin to achieve something inside their life, they fail to forget what maybe the history may have been. And you read the famous hadith of the three individuals, the blind, the one suffering with leprosy, and the one who lost his hair inside Riyadu Salihin. How these three individuals were tested, and two of them became arrogant, thinking this is tribe upon tribe, family upon family. We've never been in an impoverished state. We've never been poor. We've always been rich. When a beggar came and asked them for something, for some food, and a rihl, or a form of beast to carry out his journey, or some food, they refused, because they felt that they were self-sufficient, that they were never in a position of need like this individual. قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. Indeed, I've been given this knowledge, I've been given this wealth and this knowledge and this power via my own intellect, via my own skill, via my own ability. If we can use such descriptive words in the English language, a cliche, read many of the cliches inside the Quran. قَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَىٰ. I'm your almighty Lord. That's why at times we need to study these kalimat, these sentences inside the Quran that Allah mentions about certain individuals. قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. I've been given this wealth via my own knowledge, my own comprehension. This is speaking about Qarun, an end of Surah Al-Qasas that we find in the 28th chapter of the Quran. Because Qarun that we find, Allah mentioned, إِنَّ قَارُونَ كَانَ مِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَى فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ. Qarun was from the family of Musa. Ulama begin to discuss, what does it mean he's from the family of Musa? هُنَا أَقْوَى الْمُتَعَدِّدَ. Either he's his uncle, or his uncle's son, or his cousin, or a person from his family. أي حال, but he was a person who belonged, who was close to Musa. But what concerns us, فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ. He began to oppress them. He began to oppress the people around him. Why? Because of his wealth, the property that was given to him. That's once again, you read the descriptive nature of how Allah describes the wealth of Qarun. That you find that the keys are carried by Usba. Usba ma fawka ashara. As mentioned in Surah Yusuf as well, whatever is above 10. 10 brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam. 10 strong men just carry, as Imam Suyuti in his tafsir of Durrul Manthur mentions, just carrying the keys of the treasures. As for the actual kanz, the canoes, the treasures of Qarun, Imam Suyuti mentions أكثر من 70 بغال أو حمار, more than 70 donkeys carry the treasures of Qarun. فبغى عليهم, he began to show his wealth, his might, his authority via the wealth that was given to him, beginning to oppress his own people. Another place in the Quran, كلا إن الإنسان لا يطغى الرأى استغنى. Man begins to oppress. الرأى استغنى. He thinks he's self-sufficient. He's earned his own riches. He doesn't need anybody. He doesn't need to share his wealth. He doesn't need to help another individual. This is the dangers of arrogance. And the essence of arrogance is from al-amwal, from wealth. The greed of wealth, miserliness, it leads an individual to begin to loot, to plunder, to spill blood, to make that which is haram, to make it permissible. That all of this may sound strange for some of us, but this is today's hadith. اتقوا الظلم. Fear oppression. وظلم أنواع. ظلم, there's various types of ظلم. People just think there's one type of oppression. Various types, psychological, social, monetary, physical, linguistic, cultural, racial. All different types of ظلم that we find, taking someone's right without any due justification. Fear any form of oppression. فإن الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة. Because ظلم, oppression, will be many darknesses on the day of judgment. Many darknesses the person will have to face on the day of judgment. وَاتَّقُوا الشُّحْ, and fear greed, being miserly, not sharing your wealth. فَإِنَّ شُحَ أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ, because what destroyed the people before you was greed, a love of wealth, not sharing their wealth. حَمَلَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ سَفَكُوا دِمَاءَهُمْ وَاسْتَحَلُّ مَحَارِمَهُمْ. It led them to spill blood, and it led them to make that which is haram, to make it halal. Studied it in great detail, the science of wealth. The greed of wealth led them to spill blood. The greed of wealth today leads people to spill blood. The greed of wealth today leads people to take away people's rights, to try to make that which is haram, to make it halal. That's what people do because of their greed of wealth that we find. Wealth or greed of wealth leads them to power and to control other individuals. We find in a hadith inside the Sunan of Abi Dawood, paraphrasing all of this again, beware of greed, for it was only greed that destroyed those that came before you. It commanded them to be miserly, and they did so. It commanded them to sever family ties, and they did so. It commanded them to behave wickedly, and they did so. Hadith in Sunan of Abi Dawood, and checked by the late Sheikh Nasiruddin Al-Albani rahmatullahi alayh. In a hadith inside Bukhari that we find, if the son of Adam had one valley of gold, he'd want another valley. If he had two valleys of gold, he'd want another valley. And the only thing that will quench that thirst, that greed, will be at-turab, will be the earth that enters into the mouth, enters into the body of the individual. وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ تَابْ. And Allah accepts the repentance of the individual, turns back to him. Al-ishara, towards use of one's wealth appropriately, that this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another hadith that we find, I asked the Prophet alayhi salatu salam to give me some money. Companion asked the Prophet alayhi salam, give me some money. He gave him some money. He asked again, he gave it to him for a second time. He asked him again for a third time, he gave it to him. Hadith inside Bukhari. The Prophet alayhi salatu salam was not a spiritual individual, the ultimate spiritual individual. Because even in dealing with the dunya, his task in his heart and his mind and his soul was always about reminding his followers about al-akhirah. So he said to him, إِنَّ هَذَا الْمَالِ خَضِرَةٌ حُلْوَةٌ. This wealth is lush, green, like a sweet fruit. That's what this wealth is. A sweet fruit. A person wants to eat more, taste more, have more of it. It's never satisfied. And that's what the hadith continues to mention. Whoever takes it without greed, Allah will bless that individual. But whoever takes it with greed, then Allah will not bless it for him. He will be like the one who eats but is never satisfied. And the upper hand is better than the lower hand. Hadith in Bukhari in Kitab al-Raqa'iq. The book speaking about al-Raqa'iq. Softening the hearts. You know, that's what the essence of Islam is. Is a tazkiyah. Kitab al-Raqa'iq is towards the end of Imam Bukhari's collection. Because sometimes knowledge just becomes, to excuse the expression, it becomes a dry science. That's why some of us, we can read a lot of books. But as for its application, many of us can't apply it. That's the difference between a person who's a faqih, a person who's a jurist, who's able to apply the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To read books, there are many people. Many people have that knowledge is there. Does it soften their hearts? Does it alleviate their soul? Does it make them a better individual? أَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ أَحْسَنُ النَّاسِ. The best of people is the one who benefits the people the most. That's the one who's the best person, as described by the Prophet ﷺ, who benefits other individuals. Doesn't just benefit himself, benefits other individuals inside society. And that's why many of us, our hearts are not softened to certain things inside life. It just becomes, because as we're going to touch upon the culture around us, that it has a big fusion in your life. Don't many people think, no, the culture and environment that we live in, it doesn't impact us. It does impact us. It impacts us deeply. Without us even understanding the penetration of the culture around us, what has led us to, how to carry out our lives, how to live our lives, how to understand our lives by the people that we're surrounded by. And thus we find the heart of an old man, hadith inside Muslim, we find remains young with regard to the love of two things, a long life and wealth. An old man's heart remains young, that vigor, that zeal, remains young inside their heart. Wealth and to have a long life. Another wording that we find, the son of Adam grows old, but two things remain young in him, desire for wealth and a desire for a long life. Imam Nawawi explained his hadith inside his Sharh Imam Muslim, we find in some 18 volumes. Speaking on his hadith, he mentions that this individual described as having a craving, a yearning desire. Has his desire inside his heart to live longer, to have more wealth. Imam al-Khattabi, or Ibn Hajar mentions that he's expressed this hadith. Why does he have this craving? Because the most dearest thing to man is himself. The most pleasurable thing to a human being is themselves. So the only way to protect oneself is via wealth. It's why a long life. You need that wealth to give you long life. As they say, obviously life is destined, but this is the aspiration, the belief that they have. If I have the wealth, I will live a better life. I'll have a better quality of life. It may extend my life. So that desire, that craving exists inside the human being. And thus we find that love of wealth to keep me healthy inside my life. All of this is inside the Quran. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَالْخَيْلِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ وَالْحَرْثِ ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah mentioned the beginning of Surah Ali Imran. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ, the covetous greed. لِلنَّاسِ, for mankind. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ, from the things that they desired, they want to gain inside their life. النِّسَاءِ, women, children, wealth, property, gold, silver, branded horses, tilf, land. This is the language that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses inside the Quran. Then Allah concludes and mentioning these are only things, the temporal things of this dunya. And a better ending is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as some have mentioned based upon this verse, that the human being is an inborn miser. Unless he's controlled. And this is channeled inside the right direction, that man has this greed, this covetous love for these things, is programmed within the individual. So the person has to be deprogrammed, has to be taken away. These things have to be filtered out. They have to be channeled inside the right direction. In a hadith that we find, مَا ذِئْبَانِ جَائِعَانِ أُرْسِلَ فِي غَنَمٍ بِأَفْسَدِ لَهَا. Two hungry wolves, which are let loose on a flock of cattle, on a flock of sheep, is not as dangerous as for an individual من حرص المالي من حرص المرء على المال والشرف لدينه. What is far more dangerous than a wolf or a flock of wolves being let loose on a flock of sheep? Other wordings mentioned to be locked in a pen, in a stable, all alone, just the wolf and the sheep. Or for one night to remain, what will remain? Nothing will remain. But what is far more dangerous than that for the human being? In this parable, hirsul mar'i ala al-mal, hirsul mar'i ala al-mali wa sharaf. The strong desire the person has for wealth and nobility and rank. Obviously, we can understand the concept of wealth. Walakin limada al-sharaf? Why honor? Why dignity? Because some people go at all distances just to protect their own self, just to protect their own fame, just to protect their own name, just to protect their own identity, just to protect their own family, their own clan, their own tribe, and in today's language, their own jama'ah. It's dangerous. The person will do everything to protect themselves and the people around them. And this is a sickness that exists inside our society, because some people don't see a hadith from such nature. They don't understand a hadith from such a perception. They always think the hadith is speaking from a different perception. The hadith is clearly stating, mal is clear, the dangers. What about a sharaf? Why? Why is that mentioned inside the hadith? Because people will do that. May Allah forbid, in the name of Islam, people will do that, go to all expenses for their own protection, for their own souls that we find. Ibn Rajab, who's collected, wrote a whole risala, a whole book, a whole small pamphlet based upon this hadith, Sharh al-Hadith, al-Dhi'bani, al-Ja'i'ani. And so you read his works, even if a person doesn't have much time inside their life or may not be so well-versed, أنصحكم وأنصح نفسي. Read Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali's collection Al-Jami al-Ulumi wal-Hikam, printed in two volumes, or also available in one volume, Compendium of Science and Wisdom, whereby he took the 42 ahadith of Imam al-Nawawi and he added 10 more to it, making it 52 ahadith. Read this in your life and this will suffice you. Read the explanation of these 52 ahadith. This will suffice you. And if you have some extra time, then read the whole of Riyadu Salihin. Read these two books, these two compilations, and you will become a better individual. You will find al-ilm, was-sakina, peace, tranquility, and spirituality inside your life. You will find it inside your life. Just complete inside your life to read Jami al-Ulumi wal-Hikam and read Riyadu Salihin. And you'll find success inside that, because everything that we search for inside Riyadu Salihin about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, akhlaquhu, his characteristics, his behavior, babu taqwa, al-sabr, al-muhafaza, al-muhasaba, chapters of patience, honesty, integrity, dignity, trustworthiness, family, eating, drinking, utensils, clothing, iman, staying away from lying, cheating, wickedness, it's all there. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places certain ulama inside their works is qabool. There's acceptance inside their works and their compilations, because it leads to, their intention is to better people, better individuals inside society. And thus we find that rather than spending and sharing, that many of us become miserly individuals. Another hadith giving a parable, the Prophet alayhi salam, he mentioned the example of a miser and an almsgiver, the person who gives in charity, is that the example of two persons wearing an iron cloak, wearing an iron vest. Another hadith in Bukhari explains it, that a person who gives in charity, that the armor, it begins to expand for the individual. And a person who's miserly, it restricts the individual. Explanation is hadith has been given by various ulama of hadith, is a person who's giving the wealth, their wealth becomes more spacious for them, more of a blessing for them. A person who restricts their wealth, their life becomes restricted. Their soul becomes more restricted. Another sheikh explains hadith, he mentions that the reason why the armor has been mentioned is because armor is a form of protection. So when a person gives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the armor, the protection, becomes the protection of Allah. That's what happens. That person is protected from all sides. Is protected by whom? Protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person who doesn't give their wealth, then it becomes restricted. Then their body, part of their body, becomes exposed. They become exposed to hardships or calamities, whatever it may be. And that's why there are ways of a person to protect themselves. Hisnul Muslim. Ways of protecting Muslims is via sadaqah, is via charity. Likewise, it's adhkar. Remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places a shield. Places a shield around the individual. Allah places hafidhah, places angels around the individual, guard to protect the individual, to be with the individual. If the person is in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why some ulama, they write strange things. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah speaking about the person, mudmin al-dhikr, the one who's drunk in the state of intoxication, who's drunk in the dhikr of Allah. Strange kalimat, strange words they are. But it highlights the emphasis of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how their light is enlightened. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah mentions that I find this peace, I find this spiritual feeling that my heart is dancing within me. If this were the darawish, that were the people, these spirituals that they do, that they have their whirlwinds of adhkar that they do, but this is the real peace that I find inside my heart when I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sounds like extreme strange words, but there's a deep inner dimension meaning about these words, of what they found inside their lives, of peace and tranquility. Shaykh Shabbat Ibn Taymiyyah kana yujahid bil qalami wa sayfi. He used to fight day and night with his pen, with his sword, with his tongue. But yet Ibn Qayyim Jawziyyah, who writes about him, one of his most profound students, he said, well, I can kulla yawm fi sabah. Every single morning will be engaged inside dhikr. Walamma su'ila an hadha, he said, this is my wird, this is my protection, this is my remembrance of Allah that protects me, that strengthens me for the rest of the day. It gives me the energy to carry out in my day. Where are we from this? The key concept being about spirituality, about just being, if I can use such a word, just being a bookworm who just reads books, or being a spiritual individual, that it leads an individual to come spiritually close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then close to the people. Allah mentions, وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Don't think that those individuals who are miserly with their wealth, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them, هُوَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ, that this is something good for them, that they're withholding their wealth. بَلْ هُوَ شَرٌ لَهُمْ, rather this is something evil for them. سَيُطَوَّقُونَ مَا بَخِلُوا بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. We will strap their wealth around their necks on the day of judgment. Then Allah mentions, وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. To Allah belongs the inheritance, the wealth of the heavens and the earth. That I focus on the Quran, how many ayat, how the ending of the ayat is speaking about something, but Allah mentions, وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The wealth belongs to whom? As we began with, the Qarun says, it's my wealth, my property, it's my life. Same cliches today, it's my life, it's my wealth, it's my property, it's my hard work, it's for me, it's for my family. La, it's not for you, it's not for your family. A portion of it is, it's mahlullah. It's the wealth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it belongs to Allah. And He's placed it upon people to see how you're going to conduct yourself on the face of this earth. الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ وَيَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبُخْلِ. Those people who are miserly individuals. And then they go encourage other individuals to be miserly, to be stingy. Don't spend your money here. Don't give your money here. Don't help this. Don't help that cause. Don't help this Muslim. Don't help that individual. Don't help that individual. Don't do this. Shubahuna. Doubt here. Doubt there. Ta'ti yawm al-qiyamah ma'indak shay. Come on the day of judgment, there's nothing for you. But if you come and you give, you come on the day of judgment. Hasanat min huna, hasanat min huna, hasanat min huna. Good deeds from here, from there, from there, from there. That you forgot about. As long as your intention is sincere, you're just giving wealth. That's why fuqaha have debated that even a person comes to you and you know that possibly they could be lying. Some of them have concluded, still give the wealth to the individual. إِذَا سَأَلَكَ بِاللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. If he asks you by the name of Allah, فَتُعْطِيهِ. فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ كَاذِبًا فَكَذِبُ عَلَيْهِ. If he's a liar, he lies upon himself. But he asks you by the name of whom? He asks you by the name of Allah. He asks you by the name of Allah, so give it to him. Is a discussion amongst fuqaha, give it to him. And some of them are allowed to give it to him because he's asking by the name of Allah. This is the perception. That's why you find that some of the ulama, they never had much wealth. They never had much property. Whenever they had money, they would give it to them. Some of them, كانوا ينفقون على تلاميذهم, used to spend upon the students. Used to give their money to the students. One of the students, he got married. And the sheikh said, found out he got married. He took out these keys of his car and gave it to him. تصور هذا, took, this is recent, took out his keys, gave it to him, said, خذ هذا, هدية مني, a present from me. Gave it to him. We don't see this in our society. We don't see the influence of this inside our society, of khair, of goodness, of helping people inside our society. A person doesn't do it for show. But a person has to do it at times for encouragement to society. As we began with the society, it's an opposite society. An Islamic society is different from the society that we live in, full of greed and miserliness that we find. Another place that you find, يَوْمَ يُحْمَ عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ فَتُكْوَى بِهَا جِبَاهُهُمْ وَجُنُوبُهُمْ وَظُهُورُهُمْ. On the day of judgment, even though you speak about zakah, but some ulama have allowed it for sadaqah and for wealth in general. A person who's stingy, inside Surah Tawbah, that their wealth will be melted. And then it will be ironed, it will be pressed. On their forehead, on their backs, on their sides. هَذَا مَا كَنَزْتُمْ. This is the wealth that you try to pile up inside your life. Now taste your wealth. Taste this punishment of the wealth that you try to aspire, you try to keep inside your life. Keep it for yourself. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تمسك بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We find that صفات المؤمنين, characteristics of the believers, if you study them inside the Quran, you find something remarkable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always speaks about these individuals after being people of taqwa, of consciousness, of obedience, of ta'a, to be people of spending, people giving their wealth, people sharing their wealth. When Allah mentions that Surah Ali Imran, that those are the individuals who really believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they spend in times of adversity and in times of goodness. That's why you find some ahadith, they mention that give. Now, when you have the wealth, when you have the ability, not when life becomes the end of your life, you become ill or you know there's difficulty, then because it already belongs to so-and-so, it already belongs to your son, it already belongs to so-and-so individual now. They're just rubbing their hands waiting for it. But give that when you're in health, in strength, give it then. Give the wealth then. That is the more element of barakah, of wealth, that a person gives it then. Likewise in Surah Al-Furqan, that we find descriptive nature once again of Ibadur Rahman. In there again it mentions that they spend of their wealth, is a descriptive nature of Sifatul Mu'mineen. That's why there's certain characteristics, not to sound harsh, that some of us have not achieved those characteristics. We haven't mastered them. We haven't focused upon them enough inside our lives. In a hadith it mentions khaslatani la tajtami'ani fi mu'min. Two characteristics or traits never come together in a believer. Al-bukhlu wa su'ul khuluq. being miserly and being bad-mannered. Hadith in Sunnah Tirmidhi, and check it, and accepted by late Sheikh Nasruddin Al-Albani, rahmatullahi alayhi. Two things never come in a believer. One is al-bukhul. That's why if you study, every time a hadith are mentioned opposite, if you dissect them, you find this is the Muslim ummah. Either you find half of us miserly with our wealth, other half su'ul khuluq, bad wealth, bad characteristics. Shubuhat, shahwat. Doubts in our belief or following our desires. It's always the opposite. That's what this world is, of opposites, as they say. It exists. So a person could be very well-mannered, but they're miserly. Person could be generous, but they could be bad-mannered. And only a few people are well-mannered, and they're kind and generous to people around them. That's the benchmark. And here's another extraction for many of us average Muslims. You know, many of us, we have a chip on our shoulder. You know, we think we've become an elite class in our religious practice. And if you remind someone, أخي هذا سوء الخلق, this is bad manners. لا حرج, no problem. As long as my belief is correct. I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But no harm in having bad characteristics, bad behavior. من قال هذا? How is that poor? The Prophet عليه السلام mentioning, لا تجتمعاني خصلتان في مؤمن. Two things can't come together in a believer. Can't exist there. Muslim can't be a badly mannered individual. Can't be rude. And I speak openly, what really upsets me personally at times is that some people go out of their way to show the fineness of characteristics for لغير المسلمين, for non-Muslims. I don't say that's wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that's wrong. We should do that. There's no doubt about that, to show kindness and goodness to the people around us. But at the expense of another Muslim, what have you read in your life about aqaid, about belief? What is belief of a believer? What is hukukul mu'mineen? Hukukul muslimin? There's darajat, there's levels. A disbeliever doesn't come on the page. Disbeliever doesn't come on the page of the rights that belong to believers. Whatever type of believer the Muslim is, رَكِّزُوا عَلَى هَذَا. Focus upon this inside your life. The end of a Muslim will be Jannah. That will be the end. The end of a kafir will be, if he doesn't accept Islam, will be what? The hellfire. لَا نِقَاشْ فِي ذَلِكَ. There's no discussion about that. The end result, yes, we accept that some Muslims may be wrong. They may believe wrong things. They may sin. They may err. But that love and affection you show to that person, why don't you show that to another Muslim? But, akhi, I've tried my best. But you never gave up on the non-Muslim, but you give up on your own Muslim. Why are you giving up on a Muslim for? When you know deep down inside your heart, he will eventually go to Jannah. He will go to Jannah. He may be punished. He may be tortured. He may be burned. And even then, لما تخاطب الناس احرص على كلماتك. Focus on your words. Never ever say to another Muslim, you're going to be punished. Never ever in your life. Never ever speak about another individual, this person, because they don't know this intricate matter, they're going to be punished. العلم عند الله. Knowledge is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How dare we have the audacity to say to people, we see that people are wrong, you know, this person's not going to make it. You know, if you rip this apart in close detail, there is hardly any individual who never had discrepancies inside their actions or inside, sometimes even inside their faith. Hatta ulama al-kaba'ir. Wama usammi asma'hum. I won't mention their names. But there's famous ulama, kana indam khalal fi aqidatihim. They had mistakes inside their aqidah. It deviated away from the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. People in the defense say that they had so many good deeds, so it wipes it out. Ya akhi, if that person has so many good deeds, ma balul aqwam, ma balul awam. What about the masses of the average person? Don't they have any good deeds? Don't they have any good actions? Don't they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I the only one that loves Allah? Is this what many of us we think? We think that I am the only one that loves Allah. I'm the only one that loves the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. No one else does. There's no Muslim on the face of the earth that ever did. There's been billions. And there always will be. That in some niche, in some valley, in some broken down place, there will be a Muslim and always will be, whose heart will be linked with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what we need to focus on. Al-wala wal-bara is based upon, as Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, about a person's devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything about a Muslim is good. Everything about a Muslim is blessed. The Muslim is just a human being, just like the non-Muslim, just will falter and make mistakes, just needs to be ignited, needs to be reminded, to be encouraged inside their life. And that's the type of believers that we should be, because as I began with the social climate around us, the social environment, we live in a bubble world. We don't see outside the world around us. You know, it hurts at times. If a person reads some of the comments, not that we should waste our time with this, but sometimes in our research we have to do this. You read comments of a non-Muslim, if you took away the name, you think that, mashallah, what encouraging comments this person makes. And then you read the list of the comments by Muslims, and you begin to think, كيف هذه الكلمات, these words, this language, this speech, this rhetoric, this type of, it's there, black and white, it's not hidden. It's there what Muslims write about another Muslim, how they express themselves. But this is what we've become. This is what we've become, that may Allah forbid, an evil nature within ourselves to demonize another Muslim, to discredit another Muslim, rather than to encourage a Muslim towards khair, towards goodness. The social impact that we find, loving this world more than the hereafter, which is penetrated inside our hearts. That we love this world. We don't have that deep conviction about coming or return towards the hereafter that we find. Neglecting self-discipline. As I mentioned, it's becoming individuals, reading certain things. We don't want to discipline ourselves, being amongst people who discipline ourselves, discipline our lives. Arrogance and haughtiness. Doubting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise. Ignorance or apathy, lack of concern about the effects of greed and miserliness. That's why they say in conclusion that the wealth, the majority of the wealth, it belongs to the 10% of the riches of people on the face of this earth. And you know, and 90% of us belong in that 10%, which sounds very strange, because there's a certain threshold that if you have that amount of money, you're classified as a wealthy person according to their figures. So most of us are wealthy individuals. Most of us are in the bracket of being the richest people on the face of this earth. We think it has to be billions of billions, but in comparison to the rest of the earth, we are wealthy. We are billionaires compared to the rest of the earth, the rest of the earth that has to drink a glass of murky, muddy water every day inside their lives. They have to scrabble around to pick up bits of food from the floor. They have to see their children starving. They have to see their children hungry. They have to see their children naked. They have to see their children suffering. They have to see their children dying in front of them. A father has to bury his own son, his own daughter. And when we sit there and we complain about life, we sit there and we say that Allah hasn't blessed me with anything. I have a hard life. I have a difficult life. That's what difficulty is. To bury your own son or daughter in the ground, because as a father, you didn't have the wealth to give it to them. You didn't have food to give to them. That will destroy a man. That will destroy an individual. It will break them apart. But that is sunnah of Allah on this earth. That He will place people who will respond, who will spread their wealth, who do the khair. That they don't want to see. They don't want to see these images. It's not about shutting off these images. As some people say, just shut these images off. The way to shut these images off is to share your wealth. That's how you shut these images off. That's how you do it. Not as people say, don't watch these images, don't spread these images. If you want to shut them off, spread your wealth. Spread the khair. Be generous. Be good. And what will happen in return? Allah will bless even more. We'll give barakah inside a person's life, inside their wealth, inside their health, inside al-akhirah. Khair and goodness will be given to that individual. Because life is short. Actions of many of us are going to be very short and limited. But what will multiply it? Is ikhlas. What will multiply even further is a sadaqat, is the giving of wealth will be multiplied many, many times over. Ramadan narration mentions 70 times over, equivalent to obligatory actions. So these are opportunities for the individual to do what? To avail themselves, to help themselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to use our wealth in the right manner, to help and to benefit individuals around us and to benefit at large this Muslim ummah, to bring it out of its hardship and its difficulty.